Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is John Beacham. He is the CEO of Turek Capital Partners. It's a major real estate residential investment firm in Summit. John, welcome.
Great. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thanks for taking the time to do this. I should also mention that the firm was a 2022 Business of the Year honoree. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, Jeff.
Always good to talk to those folks. I wanted to talk to you mainly about your work in Newark, but first, before we get there, I just wanted to talk in general about the firm. As I understand it, you provided about $10 billion in capital since your founding in 2016 with more than 26,000 loans. Have I got those numbers correct?
That's right. I think we're probably closer to 30,000 at this point.
But oh, yeah. Really? Okay, good. So given that history, I'm curious where you see the residential real estate market in general now. I know you do a lot. I mean, we're going to talk about Newark, but you do a lot elsewhere too. What are you seeing as the main drivers now? Are we back to normal since the pandemic years?
Sure. Just in terms of scope. So we're active across the United States. So we acquire loans in about 47 states. Incidentally, we also have a pretty big business in the UK.
In the UK, that's right.
And so we do the same thing there, but we'll focus on the US for this conversation. The real estate market's gone through a lot of ups and downs.
Absolutely.
The past couple of years, it's been quite the ride. During COVID, I think everyone is probably aware, real estate prices really skyrocketed for the year or a couple of years after that.
Yes, indeed.
Throughout the United States. We've seen as rates have gone up or interest rates have gone up over the past, year and a quarter at this point, we've seen a lot of softening in the housing market in certain areas of the country. Fortunately for New Jersey, less impact than New Jersey than
okay.
some other parts. So actually the Northeast has held up relatively well. And in Florida, you really see the East Coast. But certain areas of the country, Phoenix, Boise, Idaho, San Francisco, Austin, Texas, you see some weakness in certain markets, really more Western oriented than the East side. Okay. That being said, I think we've gotten to hopefully close to the peak of the rate increase cycle here. We see some stability in sort of mortgage rates going forward. So hopefully that will lead to some stability in the housing market in next year.
What do you think accounts for the softening when you see it? Is that solely a function of higher interest rates, or is there something, are there local factors? I mean, what differentiates you drew a distinction between the East and the West. What's the distinguishing factor there?
I think you had a bigger run-up in a lot of the West Coast markets,
okay.
really in the East Coast market during COVID. So I think, if you think about the ups and downs, if you go up, further, you have a little bit further to fall. So I think some of those markets definitely appreciated more than the East Coast did. But in terms of the housing market, it's really three things that drive it, two of which are really pretty good and one of which is really bad. The two that are really good are, employment is still very strong, although starting to weaken a little bit. And we're seeing the beginnings of that through some of the tech layoffs and financial services layoffs that have happened, but still generally cross country, pretty good employment situation, a very good employment situation. Wages are up, so that's good. So people have money and they're employed, so they have the ability to pay for their housing. The other part that's, I guess, good from a housing price standpoint is supply is really constrained across the United States. We've underbuilt housing for a long time in this country. We don't have as many houses as we need as a country. And so in a lot of markets, there just isn't the inventory to be able to buy properties. So that just supply-demand imbalance has led to higher prices. And the part that's tough is interest rates. Rates have gone up significantly. So the same dollar of income can buy about 30 or 40% less house now, just given interest rate increases that have happened over the past year and a half. So those are three factors.
All right. Well, that's kind of significant. I mean, I've talked to several other people in the industry, and early on, the interest rate question wasn't really that much of an issue, given what historically interest rates had been in the past. Mm-hmm. But that price effect certainly is going to have some repercussions through the market.
Yeah. And like I said, that's what's driven a lot of the softening we've seen in certain areas of the country in particular. But fortunately, in New Jersey, we're talking to New Jersey publication here.
Right.
But it seems to be more stable in this area than other places. So that's a good news.
So where, from your perspective, you're on the funding side, where is the action? I mean, during the pandemic, was a lot of talk that the suburbs were where everything was happening. Has that continued to be the case? Or are you also seeing more urban areas come back and start to join in that what was a really substantial run up in prices?
You definitely saw the early COVID behavior was moving out to the suburbs and even exurbs, mm-hmm. Places that people wouldn't consider living in before. But if you're coming in, you know, one day a week or 2 days a week, you know, that commute is more manageable than if you're coming in or driving really far on 5 days a week. So we definitely saw that. I think the cities are getting better and improving now. You know, the people are starting to return to the urban areas, seeing more stability in the urban areas. So that's more positive. I think longer term, you know, it's really going to go back to, you know, finding availability of land. I mean, we don't have enough housing in this country. Right. We've underbuilt our housing stock for a long time. So it's not as many houses as we have people. And so therefore we have crowding. And so finding new places to actually build inventory of properties is really the key. So if you think about that, we're not as a society or just reality, we're not making, we can't make more land.
Right.
Our cities are generally pretty full and the housing is built up. So really the only way to solve this problem is either we're going to, you know, build more housing at the edge or we're going to go take the housing we already have in the middle and convert it into more dense housing. And so we see that density theme is something that we see throughout a lot of the things that we're doing here at Torek.
Right.
You know, maybe it's taking a single family house and turning it into a multifamily property or take an office building and converting it into a multifamily property. But fundamentally, it's about putting more people on the same amount of land. Because if we don't solve that problem, we're not going to solve, we can't deal with the growing population that we have in the country.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about one city in particular, then Newark. That's the biggest city in New Jersey. Historically, or in recent years, it hasn't been full. What kind of work are you doing there? What are you most interested in that city in particular, and what does it need?
Well, we're based right outside of it. We were based in Southern New Jersey, which is very close to Newark. So it's our, that's the closest city to where we're actually physically located. So we're very familiar with it and very comfortable with Newark as a city. We see a huge amount of interest from developers really taking properties and oftentimes converting them into exactly the example I gave you, more dense uses.
Right.
So it could be a single family property that's being converted into a two or four family property. It could be a brownstone that's being converted into apartments throughout Newark. But we've seen actually, you know, real significant demand for people to move into certain areas of Newark. And that demand has really been across the city. So I think we've done more than 500 projects throughout the city of Newark. I'm really scattered throughout the, you know, entire geography of the city, all the different regions of Newark. But we see a lot of interest in people moving there, and real estate values have held up, I think, reasonably well. You know, the city, it feels like it's doing pretty well right now, actually.
Okay. Now you mentioned the 500 projects. What are they most? Is it new construction, do you think, or is it the kind of repositioning you talked about? Because I think there have been some pretty prominent examples mm-hmm. of office buildings being turned into residential centers. What are you seeing now? What's working, as it were?
Well, most of what we're doing is what we call light rehab. So it's taking a property and not fundamentally changing it, but maybe converting like a single family, putting two doors on it and turning into a two family property or something like that. So the majority of what we're doing is sort of lighter rehab. We also have done some bigger construction projects where it's literally tear down an old property and sort of build up a 4-unit, 8-unit property throughout the city. So it's a combination of the two, but I'd say more of it tends to be, you know, taking the existing stock and repositioning it.
Okay.
And to a lesser extent, it's actually building new properties throughout the city.
Okay. Now you mentioned demand. Has that held up recently? I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy. There's been long efforts to try and redevelop the downtown in Newark going back to the building of the Performing Arts Center and mm-hmm. the Prudential Center, the arena, and there's the community there, the business community has really tried to do everything they can to try to bring the economy back, to bring businesses back, to bring people back into the city. Are you seeing that come to fruition now? For a long time it wasn't working, and it does seem now to be starting to bear some fruit. I'm wondering if you're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, no, we definitely are. I mean, we've seen a lot of interest in developing properties there and really creating new housing for families that's attractive housing. A lot of cases sort of you know, changing the nature of the properties or sort of adding more units. So yeah, we feel like there's a lot of opportunity there, and that'll continue to be the case. I would say more broadly, and that's not a Newark specific factor, but more frankly countrywide, it's harder to find deals now. I mean, with rates higher, if you're an investor or you're a developer, you know, you have to factor in a much higher interest rate than you did before. Your cost of labor has gone up a lot through inflation. Okay. Your cost of building materials has gone up. So it means you have to be more selective and careful about the deals that sort of just pencil out versus what you would have seen a year or 2 years ago, certainly. So there's fewer deals overall. And this is really not a newer comment. That's across the entire country, just because those margins are being squeezed for developers because of those factors. Okay. But that being said, absent that, you know, specific reality now that's a nationwide reality, there's still a lot of opportunity in Newark.
Okay. Now, I mentioned some of the business community. I'm curious also what you, how or if at all you find working with the administration there, Mayor Baraka, and what he's been trying to do. He's been a tireless advocate for the city. He seems really to work hard to try to bring folks in. What is your sense of what it's like to do? I mean, well, not your sense. What is it like for you to do business in Newark?
Yeah, sure. Well, remember, we're the lenders, so we're not the developers. So we're not going and getting approvals and going and dealing.
No, but that lending business depends on that build, those things getting built. So that's what I'm. That's
yeah, we're seeing a lot of improvement in terms of the timetables and the responsiveness of the building department to get permitting done and sort of construction permits and sort of allowing that to happen. I think that's, our the people we work with are able to get that done in a reasonable fashion and able to get what they need. So I feel like that's, a pretty positive business environment for the people that we're working with to be able to get stuff done in Newark.
Okay. And I mentioned the Performing Arts Center, the Prudential, the arena. There are other anchor institutions in the city, the universities, Symphony Hall is going to be renovated. What's your relationship with those folks? Do you have conversations with the people who run those organizations? I mean, how do you fit into the fabric of the city there?
Yeah, sure. Well, we're big lenders, so we deal with a lot of different people across the entire city. I'm certainly supportive of all the arts. I mean, I personally go there all the time, and I love going to the Prue Center and going to Devils games and various things in the city. So I spend a lot of time with my family there, so it's really nice for us personally. But no, we try to be supportive of the stuff that's going on in Newark. Certainly supportive of the business friendly sort of policies that are happening there, and want to continue doing that going forward.
Okay. So I've mentioned all those. Are those the main actors that you think are going to drive development in the city? Or is there somebody else that I'm missing?
Well, what we're seeing, those are all the big names.
Okay.
But frankly, the development's not coming from them. It's coming from local people. I mean, it's someone doing, 10, renovations on houses. And it's these really small local entrepreneurs who are building it up almost on a grassroots level. From the bottom up. So actually, it's not really the big names that are doing it. It's a lot of really small investors who are doing this house by house. It's you take one house, you renovate it, you make it nicer, or you add another unit or whatever you're doing to that, and then go on to the next one. So it's really, frankly, 1,000 investors, doing it all across the city, really motivated by the ability to find good properties, be able to convert them into something else, and make good housing for families.
Okay. Two things about that, I mean, that's not the standard view, I think, from outside the city. I think the standard view is what I just said, that it's got to come from the Prudentials, the PSE&Gs, all of the big companies that have their headquarters there and are pushing economic development. What I'm hearing you saying is that it's actually more from the bottom up, which again, didn't seem to be happening for a long time. So I'm curious as to whether you think there are enough of those small investors to keep that momentum going.
Oh, you
and to get to where and to provide the kind of housing and the amount of housing that's necessary in the city.
Well, as a city, you need both, right? You need. I think the efforts have gone into improving the central business district, building facilities there, really creating a great entertainment center and attractions there, has led to the ability for all these local developers to come in and sort of improve the housing stock across the city. So I don't think it's either or. Actually, I think they go hand in hand. You need to go invest in that core. And then you have a good place that people want to go spend time and feel comfortable and safe going there at night, going to events and concerts and whatever you're doing there. And that leads to the attractiveness of the city over time and the improvement of the housing stock across the city. So I think the local investors are there. There's lots of them out there. There's lots of money to go do that. And we see the deals. I mean, they're doing very well. They're able to go buy properties and renovate them and successfully exit those properties. So they're on a very granular basis, they're having a lot of success because we see it every day in our business.
Okay. And is it happening in the areas of the city that it needs to happen? I mean, is it because, again, the focus from the outside is always on the downtown or maybe University Heights where the colleges are, because that's sort of more visible.
Sure.
It's really happening
all around there. We're talking about residential development. So you're not seeing that typically in those areas, right? Because that's not where the residential development opportunities are. But it's really, you know, a lot of it that we're seeing is really scattered throughout the entire city. It's pretty well spread out all over Newark. So it's not a one area.
Okay. I asked that question because I know, for example, the Performing Arts Center is trying to create some residential housing stock around where they are in that section of the city. Sure. And in talking to other people, I know that there's been a dearth of redevelopment housing, specifically housing redevelopment in other areas. So it's interesting to hear that what you're seeing anyway is that it's much more widespread than just focused on where those big buildings are.
No. It's all over the city.
Okay. You've been generous with your time. Before I let you go, I'm just curious as your outlook in general for the rest of the year. I mean, what are you expecting in terms of interest rates? What are you anticipating? What are you planning for as we head into the summer and then into toward the end of the year in the second half?
Sure. Well, I think rates, we have a little bit more to go. Not a lot more to go, but I think probably have another, you know, 25 base point increase in the next meeting. My guess is that they probably pause after that. I think we're going to stay at that level for some extended period of time. It's my personal view. So I think we need to keep rates high to make sure that inflation is fully whacked out of the economy. I think that's a real threat to our economy long term. So that's what we're planning for as a company.
Okay.
What that means for the real estate market, I think you've had a lot of it already priced in. And we're seeing, like, in New Jersey and frankly across country, we're seeing some early shoots of stability in the housing market.
Okay.
Inventories are starting to, you know, we don't see inventories going up, or the days of market are not increasing in certain areas of the country. The basic transaction statistics are starting to improve across country. You know, we talked to home builders and they're seeing more traction and more sales in their home builder communities,
okay,
construction across the country. So feel a lot better about the housing market than we probably did about 6 months ago.
Okay.
I feel like we're getting into a point where, you know, we're starting to get to a point of stability, and, you know, it's, you know, not going to go down a lot, probably not going to go up a lot, but it will kind of bumble along for a little while. It's the level we're at right now, and so it'll be stable.
Okay, well, bumbling along is not such a bad thing compared to what we've had in the past. So, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. I hope you come back and we'll talk again, maybe an update at some point, see where your bumbling are all of our bumbling has led.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you having me here, Jeff. It was great talking to you, and I look forward to coming back again.
Okay. John Beacham, the CEO of Turek Capital Partners and Summit. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.